This is Akashwani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on reasons and implications of global market volatility. The participants are Vishal Dahiya, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Vishal, a warm welcome to the studios of Akashwani.
Thank you.
So the global market is experiencing a lot of volatility. What are the reasons behind it?
Well, Rajesh ji, when you look at the volatility in the global market, there's just not one reason. And in fact, you know, the reasons are piled up in the last few weeks or days. First and foremost is the ongoing situation in the Middle East, the geopolitics of it all. That seems to have a lot of impact on various European markets because the fears of the break in the supply of oil products or the rise in the oil prices as well. And the recent developments have not done anything positive to assuage the fears in the market vis-a-vis this tension in the Middle East. In fact, the growing escalation between Iran and Israel has further added fuel to the fire when it comes to keeping a tab on the geopolitical situation is concerned. As far as Russia-Ukraine conflict goes, there also things doesn't seem to have abated. So the indications are not very, very, very positive. But that's just one part. Then economically, there are two very significant factors. First is the status of the U.S. economy, or the health of the U.S. economy. The United States is a very advanced economy, and a lot of markets, a lot of developing economies and developed economies do take cues from the U.S. economy as well. Let's look at some numbers, and it becomes clear as to why the health of the U.S. economy is a cause of concern, global cause of concern. First is the unemployment figures. The recent unemployment figures stand at 4.3%. Now, 4.3% is a huge number for any developed economy, and specifically for United States of America. Also, the fact that this is the highest in the past 3 years. June, it was around 4.1. It has gone up to 4.3. So that is a cause of concern. That means that the unemployment rate is increasing in the United States of America. But what does it constitute of? Does not only mean that those who are less qualified or not very highly qualified are not able to find jobs in the U.S. job market. The IT sector in the United States in the recent past has also seen a lot of retrenchment. A lot of big IT companies, the new ones as well, the established startups so-called as well in the Silicon Valley, are shedding away, so-called, that's the terminology which they use, shedding away the extra flap. That means that the highly qualified IT professionals are also now out of jobs. That's adding to the unemployment numbers, that's adding to that data, and that comes to around 4.3%. I'll give you a small comparison here. Recently, we've seen developments in our neighboring country, Bangladesh. The economy was also not doing very well there. But just one figure which we want to do a comparison with. What was the unemployment rate in Bangladesh? The official unemployment rate in Bangladesh was somewhere around 5.1%. The unemployment rate in the United States of America is 4.3%. Sort of a comparison of these two figures and look at these two countries gives us an idea how serious the unemployment situation is. That's one figure. The second figure is, you know, the fears of recession. So market analysts, and specifically the respected ones like Goldman Sachs and others, do give their assessment as to how much chances are there of a recession setting in the U.S. economy or other economies as well. For the U.S. economy, up till last month, if I'm not wrong, or up till May, the assessment of Goldman Sachs was that the chances of recession setting in U.S. economy is around 15% only. Recently, it has revised this assessment and is now saying that the chances are around 25%. So that has a lot of impact. Because if the U.S. economy is going in a recession, it'll have a lot of global economic impact as well. Third important point from the United States economics point of view is the stand which has been taken by the United States, U.S. Fed Reserve, U.S. Central Bank. They have maintained a hawkish stand so far, trying to contain the inflation numbers. Inflation is also a big issue as far as U.S. economy is concerned. In doing so, they have maintained a hawkish stand. They have not increased the interest rates so far. But now the indications are coming in that they will do so. But how much? By just 25 basis points or whether 50 basis points. The experts believe that they should go in for 50 basis points for two consecutive months to ease down the fears and to give a spur to the growth as well. So will the US Fed be able to do that tightrope walk between controlling inflation and ensuring the momentum of growth in the US economy as well? This is US. Third important aspect on the global scale is Japan.
We'll talk about Japan after ask you this question related to the job data in the U.S. In fact, the Labor Department has reported that non-farm payrolls increased by just 1,14,000 jobs last month, falling short of 1,75,000 expected and well below the 2,00,000 jobs needed to keep pace with the population growth. So what does U.S. need to do to increase job opportunities?
It of course needs to go ahead, go back.
If that is the reason for all that has happened, the recession that is we are talking about, then we need to first tackle the job markets.
It's one of the factors, Rajesh. It's not the only factor. It's one of the factors because if a significant number of people are out of jobs, you have a rising inflation. They'll be hit hard. They'll have no money to spend. If there is no money to spend, then nobody is buying anything. If nobody is buying anything, then the economy grinds to a halt. So as far as dealing with the situation is concerned, the United States government and the policymakers, of course, need to go back to the drawing board, look at what other options are in their economy to generate more jobs for people. Mm. And if there is any sector, specific sector, which is feeling the pinch and is forced to let go of its workforce, what more incentives can be given to that particular sector to ensure that the unemployment rate is under control, does not go beyond a particular number, right, and those numbers which you're mentioning, the target which you're mentioning, is achieved.
Okay, let's go to the second point, unwinding of the yen carry trade that you mentioned. The Bank of Japan raised interest rates to 0.25%, if I'm not mistaken, and they reduced bond purchases. Thereafter, the yen appreciated and forced investors to unwind their positions to avoid losses. What happened?
What's happening right now is a reverse yen carry trade. But what's yen carry trade? Yen carry trade is basically a simple formula. And that's very understandable from the point of view of the fact that Japan's central bank had not increased interest rates for more than a decade. If a currency's interest rates are not increasing for more than a decade, it becomes a very lucrative currency for a carry trade, as in you borrow in that currency and use that money to invest in other assets somewhere else and, earn profits as well. That was happening very perfectly, wonderfully fine as well. In March this year, the central bank, the Japanese central bank, decided that, it'll increase interest rates because Japan was also dealing with inflation and Japanese economy was also trying to grapple with a lot of situations. So they increased it to 0.15%. That was still adjustable and digestible to the investors, most of the international investors, foreign investors, because they had bought money from there. Recently, as you're pointing out, the interest rate went up to 0.25%. Now here, those who borrowed the money in the carry trade business to invest it somewhere else, of course now it is eating into their profits. Started the reverse yen carry trade, they started selling off their investments, because they had to return that borrowed money, correct, which they borrowed in yen, the Japanese currency. And this whole thing coincided with what was happening in the US economy as well. So this became a combination. And this combination seems to have, played out in the markets across the globe yesterday, the impact which was seen on the Indian stock market as well, European markets or the Asian markets as well. So that is why this reverse yen carry trade was really, really important.
Okay, let's go to the geopolitical tensions, which weighed quite heavy on the market sentiment as concerns grew over potential attacks on Israel from Iran and its regional allies. What's your take on that?
Well, geopolitical situations have always had, impact on the stock markets or the economic situation world over. We've seen it earlier also in many cases when there have been geopolitical situations. Now it's sort of a double whammy, I would say. There is an ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine, which is impacting European markets and some of the Asian markets as well. Then the tensions in the Middle East, which started in October last year, are nowhere about to settle down. There was a lot of trouble in Red Sea also. The Red Sea crisis, in fact, sort of sent the entire global supply chain into a tailspin because, they had to go via the Cape of Good Hope instead of going via the Suez Canal. And that means extra cost in terms of ships, in terms of shipping insurance as well. Now added to that, the increasing hostilities between Iran and Israel and the kind of volatile situation which the government of Israel and the government of Iran are in right now from their domestic perspectives as well. Israeli government can't be seen backing down as of now. That's one. Two, the Iranian government also can't be seen backing down. They've just lost the president, got a new one And, you know, leaders of one of the organization whom they vehemently support was killed in their country only. So that is something which seems like
not
more an issue of...
Not easily forgotten.
Not easily forgotten. Seems an issue of pride. Although United States and other countries are trying the back channel negotiations, but then as of now, it's a very, very volatile situation. So the threat of a further push in the hostilities between these two nations in the Middle East, what kind of impact will it have on the oil trade, on the oil supply, on the oil prices, is something which will have sort of an impact.
So Vishal, what happens to the fuel? Will it drive the prices higher if the conflict escalates and disrupts the global supplies, further fueling the inflation?
It will all depend upon what is the extent of the escalation of tensions between these two countries. What is the level of this escalation? That's one. And two, the important part is how soon both of them will be willing to wind back. So that amount of time and the extent of escalation will define as to how much of an economic impact will it have.
Let's come to India. India's market capitalization to GDP ratio, popularly known as a Buffett indicator, has jumped to record high of 150%.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about overvaluation concerns.
Well, overvaluation concerns have been raised by the experts for quite some time now. And these stretched valuations is something which have always been spoken about. But how much of an impact will that have was not evident so far, because this is only tested. Overstretched valuations are only tested in difficult times, in times like these when the markets are volatile. When the markets are volatile, then you see the overpriced stocks tumbling down. And then people realize that, okay, let's go back to the numbers, you know, to the drawing table and then look at the numbers again. And then they figure out, oh my God, we sort of either missed it or, you know, we misinterpreted it. So overpriced, overstretched valuations have always been a cause of concern, but they do not manifest themselves easily and not in the normal days of the market scenario, but in a volatile market scenario. So right now, the situation we are in right now is the time where this should be a red flag and a cause of concern.
So the overvalued segments of the market like defense and railways, will they not come under pressure?
Well, they are likely to come under pressure, but then there is a counter to that as well, because, you know, there is a lot of investment which is moving in into these sectors. And when we talk about these particular sectors, defense is considered as an emerging sector in India. So if it's an emerging sector in India, then it means that both the government and the private sector would be willing to invest more into it. So whether or not they're overvalued or overstretched, if there is an extra investment coming in, it will then counter that particular effect. And if the order book is filled, then of course that overvaluation is justified.
Very quickly on the June quarter results season, this hasn't so far given any major positive triggers to take the market ahead.
Well, you know, when a lot of things are down and when a lot of things are bad, then we start looking at some not so bad things as well, you know, in a not very positive perspective. For example, the sentence you said, that itself conveys the message that it did not send very positive sentiments, positive triggers as well, but it did not send negative triggers as well. So it is a clear indication that yes, it is not on the expected lines, but it is not below the expected lines as well. There is a trajectory which is being maintained. Of course, the expectations were high in certain sectors. And perhaps let's wait and watch for the next quarter. Maybe these sectors and these companies maybe play the catch-up game and move a little further ahead. But yes, of course, if it continues for another quarter, then it becomes a cause of concern.
On that note, we would like to say a big thank you to you for being with us in the studios of Akashvani.
Thank you, Rajeshji.
You were listening to a discussion on Reasons and Implications of Global Market Volatility. The participants were Vishal Dahiya, Economic Analyst, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com. or WhatsApp on 9289094044.